Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is one of your co-hosts tonight, Stephen, and coming to you live out of the Bluegrass in Central Kentucky, and is episode number 263 for those keeping count. And joining me tonight, we have two other co-hosts, one of whom is with me right now, the awesome, amazing R.G. Westerman. Hello, Rebecca. How are you doing?
Hello,
tonight?
Hello. I am well. How are you?
Well, let's focus on that word well.
Okay, everyone's well. We're all well here.
We're all well, yeah. A bit under the weather yesterday, but today I am back at it, and all of my usual shenanigans are getting geared back up again, and looks like tonight we're going to have fun, because our first two in the chat room were Amy McCorkle, filmmaker and author Amy McCorkle, and of course, legendary author and trout fisherman deluxe Rob Hoff. So, yeah, he's in there.
Nice.
So this is awesome.
Amy,
this is
Rob.
Awesome. Yeah.
Hey, I've recently discovered, you might appreciate this, Stephen. I've recently discovered cat cafes. Are you familiar with this
cat
phenomenon?
I'm familiar with the ones that are in, like, Japan. I don't know if they're anything alike in America, but I know in Japan they have cafes where you can go and they have, like, 25 cats running around the cafe while you go in there and spend time with them.
Yeah.
But
I
if they have
the
in America, that'd be great. But...
Yeah, no, there's two in Louisville. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's two. I went to one last week with my daughter, and I went to another one tonight with a friend. Yeah, and they're amazing. You go and you get your coffee or hot chocolate or whatever, and then you go and just hang out with cats.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
We're going to have to investigate this as soon as I can get there. Because that to me would be a good time. Of course, definitely have my hands full here with the two I have in house, but I'd love to go to see a cat cafe, because the ones in Japan were fascinating. I mean, and they're very popular, I guess, because not everybody in downtown Tokyo gets to own pets, I guess, and so they're really very, very popular. Yeah, the cat cafes there, and of course they even have a cat island.
Cat.
And I'm not joking. Look it up. There is a cat island. The fellow that does,
I've heard of that.
I think, only in Japan. It's a pretty big YouTube show, and I know he broke off and is doing his own kind of version now. But that host he's great. But he had one show I think that covered that cat island, and that was man, that is awesome. A whole island filled
that's
with
awesome.
Cats.
that sounds
and
like
Carol fun. Carol Preflatish logs in just in time to hear us chatting about cats. So, yeah, no, she has a very very awesome personality cat herself, so she can relate. But oh wow, but I will check that out. Yeah, that saying two, not just one, but two in Louisville. So hey, we'll have to maybe lure one of them to come visit us at Imaginarium, just to give everybody a heads up that such a place exists. Yeah, we'll have to definitely go and pilgrimage there.
And they're not sponsoring us yet.
No.
Like, it's a genuine,
no,
it's a genuine
not.
Plug. They're not sponsored.
Yeah, that is not a paid sponsorship or something. But, I'm going to have to look into this. Because that to me, that's it's definitely that would be an adventure, to say the least. But. Wow, cool. Well, we got to start off the show with some great regional news. Yeah, thanks to you, Rebecca, that we have two cat cafes in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's fantastic.
Yes, got to support local businesses.
Support local businesses, exactly. And the first, let's, before we bring our guests on, it's actually a makeup date, because our guest last was supposed to appear a couple weeks ago and it had a last minute emergency. And so, but we were able to get this, our guest back. And so we're going to bring this guest aboard in just a few minutes. We're going to definitely want to cover our sponsors, but I do want to, first of all, give you the floor, Rebecca, because you have a new book release. And then I'm going to talk about one too as well. So I think we both got a little announcements here.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it's book in quotation marks, as I was saying earlier. It's a children's picture book. There's two of them. You can get them individually or together. One is called A is for Apocalypse, and the other one is called Z is for Zombie. And they're both just, one is more about end time stuff, and then the other one is about creatures, like mythical, legendary creatures. So, you know, you can pick those, both of them up for less than $15 on Amazon. I'll have them with me at Imaginarium. Yeah.
Well, that you know, that's not book in quotation marks. That, those are books. Legitimately every step of the way.
So.
And if anything, children's books are definitely titans of the book world. I mean, between romance genre and children's books, those are two of the big pillars of the book book industry. So yeah, they're legit in every sense of the way. Definitely. And I need to get a copies of these myself, because they just sound awesome. And at least have them here at the house
they
when all the little ones in our family come to visit. So yeah, cause I'm sure they would get a kick out of it. So we regularly get little visits from smaller little younger people that are in our family. So yeah, that would be fun to have, definitely.
That's
so,
cool.
But I actually, believe it or not, had a new book come out Monday, and it's the finally got a third novella that hadn't been released in print out with Darkness Enthroned, and so we were able to get a new print release and second compendium of the Raiden Valkyrie Tales Volume 2 out in print only. So, but it contains three novellas: Across Desert Plains, Darkness Enthroned, and Prowling the Darkness. So, of course, all those are available individually on ebook, but not in print until Monday. And so, but now you can get a print compendium that has all three of them, and that is. Cover came out great. I love the way that came out looking, and beautiful look.
Nice.
And so it's out and available at all the usual places, you know, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, etc. But yeah, got some really good reviews on Darkness Enthroned in the past week. Had a blog tour, so yeah, had coming
right
off the heels of that. So hopefully a few people will try it out. That would be awesome.
I read Prowling the Darkness when it was on Kindle some time back, and I am just such a huge fan of the Raiden Valkyrie books, so I just want to say that. If you haven't read them, go get them. What are you waiting for? Good grief.
Yeah, thank you very much. And that was not a paid endorsement, folks. Yeah, I did not,
right?
That was not a paid sponsorship either. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm looking over here. Got a lot of chatter going on in the chat room tonight so far. So that's good. That's good. You got an active bunch in there tonight so far. And, yeah, get ready for some Imaginarium news, because Holly was actually in the thick of putting together the final touches on the core programming for both the virtual and the physical events. So it's like programming two conventions programming, so it's twice the content, but it's really cool how it's shaped up. I mean, it covers everything you can imagine, so no pun intended. But it's, yeah, it definitely has runs the gamut, and so there will be some stuff going up on the website within the next day or two with a lot of the topics and descriptions. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. I would be remiss not to give you all that update. So, but that's going well. It's going well. So, yeah, we'll keep at it and keep plugging away. So we'll see. Get ready. So Rebecca has a great environment to sell tons and tons and tons of her new books, without quotations.
Okay, if you insist.
Yeah. I insist. And
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and see here. All right. I'm just looking through a couple things right here. We do have tonight, we have three sponsors, believe it or not. And that's the awesome Sandy Lender wanted to be on every show this month with us. And this was an absolutely amazing supporter of the show. And so she is aboard tonight. And then we also have Mary Ann Pohl and Ren Million. So we actually have three tonight. So that's a little unusual, but all are longtime wonderful supporters of the show. So definitely give them each your attention as we go through their spots. So first of all, we will start off with Sandy, and we'll give you one of the newer Sandy Lender spots. Here we go.
Lloyd Alexander told us, "Fantasy isn't an escape from reality, but is a way of understanding it. Let's tunnel further into understanding, then, with dragons, zombies, Aedras demons, endangered arabesque, and many other fantasy creature stories." Fantasy author Sandy Lender invites you to follow her on the Amazon platform to escape reality alongside her. Sandy is proud to be a sponsor of the Imaginarium Convention. Visit with her at the in-person event or in the virtual exhibit hall, July 9th through 11th. We can dive into new understanding there as well.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Really appreciate your support of the show very, very much. And definitely go check out Sandy Lender, especially on Amazon.com. Lots of good stuff to choose from there. So now we are going to give you a little spot about the amazing Ren Million here. All right, listen up, folks.
Have you hit a wall with your story and you're not sure where it's going anymore? Feeling uninspired? Need a book that doesn't look like it's self-published? Hire a muse with 33 years experience as an illustrator, writer, and designer. Hi, I'm Ren Million. You can find me everywhere online with a quick search, R-E-N-M-E-L-E-O-N. Thanks for tuning into the Star Chamber.
Thank you so much, Ren Million. You are awesome, and looking forward to having you in our virtual event this summer, and so Imaginarium. So now, last but not least in our roll call tonight is the amazing Mary Ann Pohl, and we will give you a little bit about Mary Ann, and she's a fantastic author with a great paranormal podcast that you all need to check out. An invisible battle is being fought around us. If we listen closely, we can hear swords clashing in the war for human souls. The Iconoclast thriller series is not your typical horror. So, if you are looking for blood and guts, just for the sake of blood and guts, you won't enjoy these books. But if you are looking for frightful stories in which ordinary individuals must face extraordinary circumstances and the supernatural, look no further. Mary Ann Pohl, and you can find her at MaryAnnPohl.com, and I'll spell it for you real quick, MaryAnnPohl, MaryAnnPohl.com, and you can find her, of course, where all good books are sold. So thank you very, very much, Mary Ann, and onward and upward. So here we go, and it looks like our guest has called in already, so I want to go ahead and bring aboard our guest, even though it's a couple minutes early. Sound good? Rebecca?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Hi.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You thought I was not still doing sponsorships.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's I just thought right. It was rhetorical.
Rhetorical. Well, I'm going to make sure we give her your game. Okay. So if you're on the same page with me, then I think we can do this now. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tonight's guest, who I am very excited about having because definitely a favorite person of myself and Holly's, is an actor, a set medic, and a location scout. And this guest tonight has had over 30 years of military service in both the United States Marine Corps and the United States Air Force, and has participated in over 20 movie and television projects, including productions from Disney, Hallmark, Lifetime, and Trinity Broadcasting, currently playing the role of Doc Taggart in the Der Vertrag series starring Vernon Wells. And, of course, some of you know who I'm speaking of. But for those who don't, I am bringing aboard right now for the first visit as a guest of Star Chamber Show, Rocco Pepe. Hello, Rocco.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hello, everybody. How are you all doing tonight?
There you are. How's it going, man? Good to hear you.
Doing good. As long as I stay on the damn hospital.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm so sorry you missed us the last time, and you know, with the emergency you had, and you know, but we wanted to make sure we got you aboard to visit with everybody and chat a bit.
I'm especially happy to be able to do this. And oh, by the way, this is not a sponsor type gig, but I'm at my favorite bar, having a cold beer. And oh, hold on there, Steve. I just did a shot of bourbon just for you.
Well, hey, you got me covered. You got me covered. That's awesome. Yeah, we have. I hear some. Yeah, I hear some voices in the background. Yeah.
Hopefully, it doesn't drown out us.
Okay, we'll keep a monitor on it, but we'll do our best here. But
it's an ambiance.
If it does, I'll go out to my Jeep and have another bourbon, but I'll be good.
Well, we had a call once from Grand Central Station in New York City, so it's happened before.
Oh, wow.
But that was I'm trying to remember the guests, but that was something else. But so how are you, man? What's been going on?
Well, of course, you know, I've been doing Dot for Trog. I had another role with that. It's huge. A lot of good people involved. A lot of good actors involved. We got Vernon Wells, Myron Kingerly from The Walking Dead, Santiago Cirillo from The Walking Dead and Nashville. And, of course, this is going to be big. We're looking forward for all of this. And it's been a lot of fun. I had 6 pages of dialogue with Vernon this couple weekends ago now. This whole thing has been great. We're trying to push with Dot for Trog, we're trying to push the fact that we're losing 22 veterans a day. We're trying to bring awareness to that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys are already shooting, right?
Oh, yeah. This is, let's see, we did the concept. We did a couple other episodes. We did an episode which was basically part one to the one we just finished this weekend. And we haven't really hit – we are bringing awareness, but the next couple episodes are going to be tearjerkers. And people need to realize that – yes, I'm a retired veteran. I served almost 30 years. I've been to the Middle East almost 6 different times, starting with Desert Storm, Desert Shield. And I finished out my trips over there with Operation Iraqi Freedom. Santiago Cirillo, who is involved, he's also done The Walking Dead, and he also played a detective in the TV series Nashville. He too is a staunch advocate for looking to help our veterans. Sean Burton, who you guys interviewed a few weeks ago, that's who I'm working with right now. He's done 6 years in the Army, and another staunch advocate for trying to bring awareness to our veterans, get them help. It's not easy. It's a lot of things that we have seen that a lot of people have not seen, and we don't want you to see, but it's things that we need to deal with, and we do deal with, just to bring awareness to the fact that we have homeless veterans, we have veterans who go to that certain point, and they have nothing else to do other than smoke it. That's what we call it anyway, when they commit suicide. And we really need to take care of our veterans much better than we are right now. I don't care who this administration has been involved. I don't want to see any more of my brothers and sisters doing things to themselves that they shouldn't be. And, again, that's harming themselves instead of taking care of ourselves. I've got PTSD. I got TBI. And my support outlet has nothing to do with the VA. My support element has to do with my friends who see me for who I am, a human being who's having fun with my hobby. I'm retired from everything from the military, from my civilian job I had. I still want to do things to help out my community, which part of the Vertrag is about guys coming back, trying to find their niche in the community. We want to get back to the community. Therefore, we're doing things military-wise to do what we can to help one another and be there for one another.
So he's your boyfriend. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about this with Sean when he was on a few weeks ago, and what you're doing with that. And I'm with your experience, I mean, I know that you work as a set medic and then as an actor and then and several other things, but you also can I would say are a consultant in something like this too, I'm sure.
When Sean brought me on with Die for Truck, for those that had not heard Sean on your show, Die for Truck is German. It means contract. It's guys coming back from being involved with war, trying to find their niche. Again, for me, it's trying to get myself back to the community, do what I can for the community, which I've done for 9 years with Kentucky Emergency Management, and finding my niche and being there to help the rest of the community in their time of need. Because, look at it, Steve. I've got, like you said, I've got 30 years experience in the military. I know what I do, what I've done in the military. When I bring it back home, I don't need to carry a gun, but to be able to step in and help those in their time of need is an overwhelming grateful that what I can do for our community. And I'm not trying to pipe up my own horn, but it's something I can do to help those in their time of need, and I'm ready for this. And I'm now bringing it to my acting. I'm retired from the military. I'm retired from the state. If the community needs me to step up during an emergency, I will, as long as they can accept me. But in the interim, I'm having fun right now with my hobby.
And you've been active. I mean, you've been in a lot of stuff. I've had the pleasure of watching you around the area and working with a lot of filmmakers, and you've worked in both big productions and small. I mean that versatility has paid off that you have. And that's been go ahead.
I don't know if I can say names of people I've been involved with, but I'll tell you what. I have met some fantastic Hollywood people, especially when they found out what I've done with my life. They've opened up their arms to allow me to step in and be part of their lives in this acting community, and I have had a blast. And you know what I've done. I've done two movies with you so far. And I'm looking forward to working with you more and more any chance we get.
Yeah, I hope we do. And, right now I'm just in a kind of a holding pattern trying to find a home for our show, but definitely wouldn't hesitate to work with you again. I mean, definitely not. Yeah, you're definitely a consummate professional from my personal experience working with you, and definitely enjoy quite a good reputation with other area filmmakers. And but what got you into the movie side of things after, to give us a little history about, following, your military career, what kind of got you into the everything?
Actually, the very first movie I've ever done as an extra was The Final Countdown, where the USS Nimitz goes back in time. That was filmed in the late 1970s. Kirk Douglas, Tony Franciosa, a couple other big names. I was in the Marine Corps then, and they brought our SWAT team onto a ship to play a certain part. I didn't get credit. Who cares? I had a lot of fun. My roommate, however, got killed in the movie. We still busted chops today about it. And, again, that was late 1970s. We filmed it in 79, I think. And that was just before we went to Norway above 100 miles above the Arctic Circle to do winter warfare. But after I came back, that was, to me, that was, at that time, was my biggest thrill in my life, let alone being in the military. And then when I moved here in 2007, they were looking for extras for secretariat. So I went to audition for secretariat, and they wanted to know how many people have done any type of background extra before. I raised my hand. They questioned me, and they went, what were you in? And I told them, the final countdown. They went, do you realize how long ago that was? Yeah. And? I ended up getting hired on as an extra. So anything that has to do with Belmont Park in the movie was actually filmed at Kingland. So the first 2 days, they had me playing a Suffolk County detective. I had my Fu Manchu hat, leather jacket, my NYPD detective badge hanging on my jacket. I had a line with John Malkovich. And the scene was, if you've seen Secretariat, where John Malkovich starts walking down the stables, you'll see two cops on the left-hand side, one in plain clothes, the other one in uniform. They had me walk around the corner with two cups of coffee. I hand one coffee to my buddy. John Malkovich comes by and goes, hey, fellas, how you doing? My only line, hey, how you doing? Ended up on a damn cutting room floor. That's my claim to fame for that one. And for 2 days, I played a Suffolk County detective. 2 days, I played a reporter. And then out at Churchill Downs, they brought me out there. I played a reporter. How do I know I played a reporter out there? Yeah, I know exactly where I was standing. I had my head down, and I was taking notes. That's how I knew where I was standing. And that's not anything new, being an extra on a movie. As long as you know where you're standing at, you can point to your friends and go, hey, that there I am right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2011 time frame, buddy of mine was getting ready to get married. I was part of the bachelor party. We did not do the typical let's go look at Tibby's Fountain. We're in our late 40s, so what the hell are we going to go looking at women dancing around their boobies before? We've seen it. So we went and saw a movie, went and had dinner, and then we went to a Legends baseball game. And we're sitting at that time, it was the Maker Marks area. We're sitting there, and we're having a beer, and there's three people standing just outside the Maker's Mark. One of my buddies in the background went, hey, Rock, when's Secretary coming out? And I said, coming out in October. The gal whips around, looks right at me, and goes, that's where I know you from. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know you, hon. I have never done anything with you, hon. And then Richie Nash steps around, son of Cookie Nash. And for our Kentucky Wildcats fans, yes, Cookie Nash from UK basketball. This is his son, Richie Nash. He looks at me, looks at my group, and goes, how would you guys like to be in a baseball movie? There it is, and it's taken off. Along with you, Steve, you brought me on to play the Imperial representative in one of your swashbucklers. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
yep,
that started
that would
to
be
my,
sword
my,
bearer.
My resume. Yeah.
Yep, that would be sword bearer. Yep.
Yeah. And from there, it's just taken off. And Vin Morielli, which you know, Steve, he's booked me for I don't know how many gigs. Lifetime, Hallmark. Hell, I've done 4 Hallmark now. I've done several for Trinity Broadcast Network. Trinity Broadcast Network, we did the thing called Smoketown. I ended up playing 5 different characters in Smoketown, which was a 8-episode miniseries. They just had to trim my beard, change my clothes a little bit, and I had a blast with that one even. Trinity Broadcast Network, let alone Smoketown. I also played a medic in one of their episodes. And basically, I just did what typical combat medic does. I'm looking at a victim. I start screaming stuff out. And they were like, hey, do that again. Okay. Screaming stuff out. They had no dialogue for me or anybody else at the moment. So they picked that up and ran with it. So, and like you see right now, on IMDb.com, I have done over 20, almost 30 different movies now. And Don Patrog has turned into a monumental excuse for me to enjoy my life.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. And I should mention, too, that we are joined by Daniel Dark. Daniel has joined us. He's lurking in the back here somewhere.
Hello, Daniel. Hey, Daniel. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing good. I had a customer late tonight. I sat down and played a lot of stuff. I just got home.
Well, welcome aboard, my friend. It's good talking with you again. Last
yeah, the voices you hear.
Was, the last yep. time I saw Daniel was when we had the Imaginarium a couple of years ago, and he and I were sitting mm-hmm. in the background and enjoying watching everything, and my buddy won an award for a short that we did. I played a detective in that, and we're actually looking to expand on that short for me to be the... We're actually looking to be a short to where I'm the detective antagonist chasing after assholes.
Hmm.
And I'm looking forward
yes,
to that.
And also, so you know, Daniel, the voices that you hear in the background, they're a little loud, but Rocco's called in from a bar tonight. That's what's going on.
Hey, give me 1 second. Dave, I got a couple friends of mine that just showed up. I'm on a podcast right now.
Yeah.
That's what it gets for going to a bar. And I told you guys, you know me, I'm going to go to the bar and enjoy myself with my friends because I'm getting ready to move to Louisville this weekend. And the two that just showed up are my favorite from Garcia's Restaurant. And they got great Mexican food here. All right, that's your plug. Shut up.
That's awesome. Well, fantastic. I'm glad you're moving to Louisville. You picked a good city to come into here. That's definitely the place to be. Oh, of course, I'm also partial to Lexington as well.
I'm closer to Louisville.
Hey, Steve, where the Imaginarium's going to be at this weekend? Or not this weekend, but in a couple months?
Yeah, I'm not this weekend. No.
No, not this weekend. No, this weekend I'm moving. But when the Imaginarium goes, I will be less than a mile. My apartment will be less than a mile from the Imaginarium.
That's awesome.
And again, I am very much looking forward to hanging out with you guys again.
Well, it's a new venue, so.
Yeah.
And,
I already sent Holly all my information, so I want to be a guest speaker again on one of your, at least two of your panels.
I think we could probably work that out. We have quite a few to choose from, too.
I figured you could.
We have twice the number this year with...
You always have at least two or three venues where I can sit on the panel and give my professional experience or have fun with people who do different things from me and bring my perspective
mm-hmm.
from being an actor, bringing it in from what I do as an actor to cosplay and seeing the differences between both. I get to be someone who I'm really not and bring it to life.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing is that you can bring the perspective of somebody that works both behind the camera and in front of it. So, I mean, you work both sides of the camera, so that's a cool perspective to bring to a film panel.
Oh, I had a blast doing that. On the backside of the camera, when I did set location, we were looking to do a music. It wasn't so much a musical, but the intent of the short was bringing an individual in with their perspective to look at a specific special song, Amazing Grace, and bring it to the set of a church. I found the church in Northern Kentucky. I had no idea when we were talking with them. They actually had this church in a Robert Redford movie. And then we brought in our crew. We did our stuff. It's called Amazing Grace. It is on YouTube. It's from the band called Warhol. Excuse me. And
okay.
They won. Oh my God! At least 20 awards around the world. I had no idea this would happen like that. And again, all I did was find the church, and then from there, I was the set medic. If you want to see two grown men, whose masculinity, mine included, got it infected by the amazing Ashley Warhol, we ended up crying on set. That's how touching this story is. And listening to her say, I already commissioned her, and she's doing it for free for me. God forbid when I pass away, Amazing Grace, when it's being sung at my funeral, Ashley's going to do it for me.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah,
Ashley. We unfortunately had Ashley scheduled with her band last year to come play at Imaginarium and Warhol, and I was so sad that we had to postpone that because we had to go to a fully virtual format last year with the pandemic and all that. But yeah, she is amazingly talented, and I think that Holly and the gang are trying to work to make that happen this year, to have Ashley and everybody back again for live music. So hopefully that works out. But I mean, she is a supremely good talent. I mean, she is amazing. I can vouch for you there for sure.
And if you need another vouch in that one, I'll tell you right now, if you can get them for the Imaginarium this year, oh, my God, they are phenomenal. I've done 3-4 music videos with them now. I played a bad cop in a present scene for them, and they are phenomenally great. Great people, great talent. Sounds great. It would.
Yeah.
Anybody who goes to Imaginarium this year, if you get the Warhols there, it's not going to be a waste of your time to listen to them sing. They are, oh my God, talented people.
And it's cool because I think her father's in the band. I think her dad's actually in the group. I believe I can't remember what if he's the guitarist, but yeah, that's a cool. So it's a little bit of a family thing too, which I thought was pretty neat.
It is. And
but,
we did Amazing Grace, it's based on Larry and Ashley's screenwriting and their music. That's father and daughter who played a father.
Yeah.
As in ministry father and daughter. The daughter was a lost soul in Amazing Grace. And between them both, they find their religion. They get their comfort in religion. And then they expand.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal story. Phenomenal story. And I'll tell you what, I'm not really religious. I have faith. I've had my issues with the Catholic religion, but this was phenomenal.
Wow. Well, that, well, I, well, knowing how talented she is, I mean, that's that. I mean, I definitely need to see this. Yeah, that's yeah. You got me intrigued.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. Their music is way outside of what they did with that. Outside of what they normally sing. It's a dark gothic genre that they run, and they're very, very talented.
No, if you like bands like Nightwish or some of the symphonic metal bands out of Europe, it kind of falls along those lines a little bit. It's got that sort of genre.
That is their genre. And very tight, very gothic, very instrumental.
Yep. Then, of course, her vocals are, like you said, are powerful as can be. So, yeah, that's definitely one to check out. Yeah, and if you do happen to be a Nightwish fan or one of those types of groups, you'll definitely need to check the band Warhol out. And it's spelled just like Andy Warhol, Warhol. So, but they do have some stuff up on YouTube and all, and you can check it out for free. But yeah, definitely encourage you to look them up, because that is a really, really good band. And I know Eric Kyer's working on putting a great concert together for our convention, so I hopefully that they can get it worked out for Warhol to come back. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Steve, I got my fingers crossed for those guys. Super nice.
Yeah.
We've done several music videos with them. We even did one down in the Cumberland area, and it was based upon Ashley's fighting her demons of depression and coming out of it. If you go on YouTube and type in Warhol or Ashley Warhol, you can find it. And it was based upon her issues, again, of dealing with depression and the demons of depression. We brought it out, and she really, oh, my God, she really pulled it off to show everybody here's what she's dealing with and how she dealt with it. And that music video was very, very instrumental.
Wow.
That's cool. I'll have to check that out.
That is. Yeah, definitely got to check that out. Hey, well, Daniel, do you have anything you wanted to talk to Rocco about tonight, since you you guys met a couple of years ago, and this is the first time you've gotten to say hi in a little while?
I'm glad to hear that you're still being able to work with all of the things that's going on. I'll probably get a one more year for you. Did you get a lot of work going during COVID?
For me, during the all this bull crap with the COVID, I had to get my shots, only because the VA said, oh, if you don't get your shots, we will not take care of you as a 100% disabled veteran. Right, fine. I got my shot. It's nothing new. During the Operation Iraqi Freedom, we had to get shots as part of the anthrax crap. So I got those sick. And I'm getting a great 100%. I'm finally getting monetary anyway from the VA for my times in service. My civilian doctors, they have been phenomenal on my injuries, and I have quite a few, but they've been taking care of me. The government right now, as far as the VA is concerned, I've had representatives from Congress. I've had representatives from Wounded Warrior Project. to step up to make sure I get what I need to be taken care of. Unfortunately, in 2018, I had a stroke that took me out of doing what my primary job was, to do search and rescue or any type of emergency management type things that had to do with folks during the times of their imposition from emergencies. But right now, I can still reach out to some of my contacts in state and federal entities. If they need me, I'm available to help. Right now, I am one of four people who is certified to work with the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center. If we have it down, overdue, any type of event that has to do with a downed aircraft, I can help work on trying to find that bird. Airliners is easy to find. Civilian aircraft, hard to find, but I can find them. The only trick is, let's get to them before we have a fatality. And I love that aspect that I can still do in my life, even though I'm hampered by everything else.
The one thing I had to learn myself when I had mine.
And of course, I still have my friends here at Parlay's Bar coming up and saying, thank you for what you've done for your service. And they're going to miss me here because when I moved to Louisville. But I had to stop in here tonight. It's my last, basically my last night in Frankfort, Kentucky. So I have to say hello and thank you to all my friends that have been phenomenal to me.
Yeah. Well, shout out to all your friends at the bar there. Glad hopefully they're listening to you and listening to the Star Chamber show. But you're not going to be moving too far away, so you could pop back to Frankfort. That's just a little ways down the road from Louisville. So, yeah, don't get too sad, Rocco. You can come back.
I'm not because I've got... Of course, I still have doctor appointments. I have to come back here. And that's not a big deal because there's a hotel I like right down the road. And to hang out with my friends and see them, that will still be phenomenal. But I cannot wait to see you guys again. Steve, I haven't seen you in, what, 3 years now?
And well, it's been a couple at least. Definitely through, not last year because of COVID, man. So it had to be 2019 at Imaginarium. I think that's the last time I ran into you.
And
it's been a couple years.
Imaginarium, as long as you have the Imaginarium, I will be there. I have to support you because you are a very influential person in the community for what you do. And I'm not blowing smoke up of your ass, so don't think that.
No, I know that.
I look.
Yeah, I know that.
And one of the things I really love about you and Holly, Steve, is I get to see you guys. I can give you guys a shot. And look at her face, because her ass runs around while you guys do the Imaginarium. And give her a shot, and she's a happy camper. Same with you.
Yeah, she's a whirlwind. And the other thing, you were starting to show up to our International Screenwriters Association third Thursdays too. We got to see I think one of those, and mistaken, I think you popped up. And which unfortunately, that with the pandemic, ISA closed those down for a while. But I think, and this is good news, Rocco, I think they are about to let us do them again. So we might wait till just after Imaginarium to resume them, just because of all the stuff we're embroiled in right now. But those should be coming back right after after midsummer, and definitely will keep you posted. Because, yes, I do remember that last shot you gave me that you referenced, and that was what was beautiful. Woodford Reserve. I remember exactly what it is, what it was.
Well, you know who's got me started in Woodford Reserve. And for those that don't know me, I've done several that figures my Bluetooth is getting ready to die. But several. Oh, don't worry about it. I got this. I got a backup. I got drunk. I don't want to say I got drunk. I had several shots of Woodford with John Voight and James Caan. Super, super gentlemen to begin with. And when I met with you at that little parlay thing we did, I had to get you guys a shot, and I'll do that every time we meet.
Well, thank you.
See, you
I don't mind
it. The world to me. You two mean the world to me.
Well, thank you, man.
You know, we're close friends. We're very close associates. We enjoy doing things together. And I will get you a shot anytime I have a time.
Well, thank you.
That's the thing, though.
You know, we want the community here to have a lot of camaraderie, and definitely whether we work in film or whether we're book people or whether we're game developers or musicians. I mean, we definitely want to see that kind of synergy between the various members of the creative community around here, and certainly it's great when we meet individuals like yourself that get that and understand the importance of that, and that's definitely the spirit we have, you know, going forward with everything that we involve in. But
and that's one of the things I want to point out with your show is that we have a camaraderie. It's not really specific to anything, but it's a camaraderie of what we have together as friends. And I actually consider you a very close friend, even though we've only done a couple of things together artistically. People have to understand.
Yeah, official project.
When you find that niche, when you find that niche, you have to expand and you have to grow on that. And that's how I will make you successful, and that's how you will make me successful. And that's how, as we do this, we expand our genre and make everybody successful. And that's a big thing, too. For me, I'm very comfortable with who I am and where I'm in my professional life right now as far as an actor. I want to see anytime I'm involved with any type of event, I want it to be successful, not just for me, but for everybody involved. If you pull me in as a set medic, if you pull me in as a location scout, especially as a location scout, I need to know what the director, what the producer, what the writer needs, and then I'm going to reach out to find that spot that you need. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, okay, I'll still look. As a set medic, you tell me where you want me to be, I'll be there as your medic. And as I'm there as your medic, if I need to bring in other forces to expand on how to make your event successful, I'll reach out. And that's very important to me.
Well, you did mention, I'm glad you brought up the location scouting, because that is an art, and it's something a lot of people don't appreciate, how much work goes into location scouting. And tell us a little bit about your experience location scouting and Kentucky. And here's your chance to pitch Kentucky as a great site for filmmaking, because we actually have a lot of variety when it comes to locations. And tell us a little bit about that side of your world.
To be a location scout, I need to understand what the director is looking at, what the producers are looking at, what the screenwriters want. And then combine all that, I make a basically a list of, all right, here's what they're looking at as far as A, B, C, and D. Then I'll go out and I'll do some research. All right, who has a location that they want for this specific location? I'll go out there, I'll look, I'll make notes, I'll take pictures. To me, being a location scout is like being in the military. I'm looking for where I'm going to protect my troops and bring the bigger bang for the buck. And when I start looking at this, I understand what the producers want. I understand what the directors want. I understand what anybody who's involved. And once I get all that together, I start going out looking at locations. I take pictures. I give them the grid coordinates. I tell them what the pros and cons are. And in the interim, they have to give me their pros and cons. So it narrows it down exactly what we're looking to do and how to project what they want on the screen. It's not that hard, but it is time-consuming.
Definitely. And
I've always wondered
how much you got on that wheel.
No, I've always wondered, like, when you find a location, like, how do you know who to contact? Like, how what are the logistics around? Like, how do you know who to call, who owns the property, what have you?
Me coming from a background with the Kentucky Emergency Management, as far as a planning and responding to a disaster, I gather that information based upon that, and then contact the owners, let them know what we want to do, and then I find out what their restrictions are and what do they want for us to be successful on their location. And on top of that, do you have any money concerns involved? Do you have any insurance involved as far as land and what we want to do, and what is the cost overall from you? And then I take that information from them to the production staff, to the directory staff, and then I let them work out the monetary ideas between both entities, and I step back.
Okay.
From there, I found this place. It's up to you to work out what's the cost going to be. Just like when we did Amazing Grace, I had no idea the church I was talking to. They were involved with a movie with Robert Redford. And when I took that back, I had no idea. They had a love for Robert Redford and what they did with their church for a featured movie, took it back to the bosses, and I let the bosses work it out with them. And I'm not going to say how much it cost or it didn't cost, but there was a donation given to the church just so they can film Amazing Grace there.
Wow.
Wow. My job is to find the location and let the producers, directors, owners of the movie discuss with the church or whatever location is.
Mm-hmm.
Let them to figure it out how they're going to work the monetary portion of it.
Right. That makes sense.
Right.
How interesting.
Yeah, and I imagine with with your military experience, you know, you have a good eye for logistics as far as, you know, you're thinking about, you know, how to get equipment in, routes of access, all kinds of stuff involved with, you know, a shoot on location. You know, I'm sure, you know, that's definitely a factor in your calculations on whether or not a location is good, the logistical side.
Now, as far as that, Steve, I'll look at it. For example, when we did the firefight for Don Petrock, mm-hmm. I looked at the infill, exfil. All right, if something goes stupid, how can I get whoever's injured out of there? If I have to bring in an ambulance, can they come in this location? Do I need a dust off as far as an airlift? I always plan for the worst scenario. Luckily, mm-hmm. knock on wood, we never have had that. But I always look at what is the worst case scenario for me on the mm-hmm. set to protect the actor or actress from any type of injury. Who is the closest location I could take him to, a urgent care or a hospital? And 9 times out of 10, if I'm on set, somebody to a hospital via my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to bring an ambulance in, that's a different story. But at the same time, I want to see on set what we can do to make it best for their bang for the buck. And on top of that, I'll still talk to them about scene safety. All right, we have terrain that's not exclusive to be able to walk, like we would walk in the parking lot. I got to tell people this. I got to tell people what the weather is. What are we looking at while you're doing this? And in the interim, mm-hmm. everybody, please be safe and be cognizant of what we're doing and how we're doing it. And knock on wood, mm-hmm. I have yet to have somebody get seriously hurt. Oh, we've had a little bit of bang ups here and there. We've had bang ups here and there, but.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Nothing that says we have to have
there is.
Fade on set. Pop a cup of ibuprofen, and when you go home tonight, you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially a set with where you're doing a lot of stunts and stuff. I imagine that's where you get most folks that will get a few bang-ups here and there. But a lot of the people experienced with stunt work, though, are, you know, they're expecting a little bit, so they're not too immune to the situation. But
even with stunt guys, if we have the stunt coordinator on set, he's right there to say, here's what you can expect. And if you get hurt and you're not part of my crew, stay the hell out of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got to take it very seriously. Yeah, because that's not fun and games when, you're doing some complex, stunt work or fight scenes and all. I mean, people, you can get hurt. And it has, it does happen. But I'm glad to hear in your case that you haven't had anything too serious. That is good to hear.
Thank God. And Steve, look at some of the stuff that you have done where you required some of our actors to do stunts, and we still coordinate everything. To me, mm-hmm. as long as we're coordinating all the stunts properly, nobody should get hurt. And if you do get hurt, it's not going to be
key.
Yeah, it's not going to be a catastrophic issue.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah, just trying to maximize the safety factor by preparing correctly. Yeah, and that's key. And not instead of going off half cocked, as I would say.
And,
not.
What? Steve, wait till you see episode 4, Dar Patrog, Expel. There's some explosive stuff involved. Everybody was safe. And, oh, my God, did we have a blast getting that thing done.
Ah, I see what you did there. Explosive stuff, and you had a blast. I see what you did there, Rocco. That's pretty good. That's a good one. But I've been looking forward to that.
Died,
yeah.
My hearing aids have died, but I've gotten to the phone. We're still good. Press on. Charlie Mike.
All right, man. But, yeah, Sean has definitely got our appetite whetted when he was on the show a few weeks ago. I mean, definitely. And I love the fact that Vernon Wells is in it. That's so cool. And how Sean's figured out a way to get him into this upcoming episode, I guess, from what I heard. And definitely going to be a cool thing. And I can't wait because I think he said it's going to be done in time for Imaginarium. I don't know if it'll be in time to make deadline for our awards stuff, but even if not, I mean, we'll definitely try to screen it at least to show folks at the convention, because that's definitely a prime project out of our region. So we want to try to support it best we can.
Definitely.
I talked to Sean about that. He's trying to get everything done before the expiration date to get it into the Imaginarium. You will be very, very surprised how well this is with all the people involved. And it is a great project. When we do several other episodes, it's going to be tearjerkers, and that's our original plan, because of what we have been putting up with in our veteran reception stuff. But in the interim, well, 2 years ago, I did that. I played a detective, and Ashton won a award for his script. I was very pleased being involved with the whole thing. And for that to be nominated and to win an award, Sheehan was beside himself for what you all did for him. And it actually got Ashton to push his genre, his ideas, to go forward. He was just a regular screenwriter who was out there just to have fun. And when he won that award at the Imaginarium, pumped him up so much. And for me, pumping him up, I didn't win the damn thing other than being a cop in this thing. Who cares? I'm just an actor. But to have a screenwriter be picked to win that award, that was an accomplishment. He had no idea he can get to that level.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Yeah, that is awesome to hear. And I'm amazed with the team you all have put together for Der Fertrag. I mean, Sean was going down a list of everybody that's on crew and cast side, and I was like, wow. I mean, that is you really, really have assembled a concentration of talent on both sides of the camera. It's a really a good crew you have there.
Oh, Chris Maggard on the back side of the camera, phenomenal. Byron Kingley on the front side of the camera. He's done four different seasons on The Walking Dead. He's involved.
Yeah. Yep.
Super actor. Santiago Cirillo, another superb actor. He was involved with The Walking Dead, as well as playing a detective in a Nashville TV series. He's involved. And he and I actually had dinner Friday night before we filmed the battle scene. And when we came back to the hotel, there were several people at the hotel that looked at him. They recognized him. Can I get your autograph? He turned around and went, why don't you get his autograph too? He's pointed at me. And he's going, this guy does more movies with me than what he's done himself. That was a lot of fun. Not so much that people were recognizing me. I don't need the recognition. What I need is to put the talent that I'm involved with, production company-wise, mm-hmm. actors-wise. Come on, people. Let's step up, put on the bayonet, let's make movies properly, and we'll recognize each other as we do things down the road. That's important
right.
to me, including with you, Steve, being involved with what you put together. I want to make sure that what you're doing is recognized by the audience, and it's not so much of who you are, it's more of what are you trying to portray on the screen to get that recognition and having people to look at your stuff and going, wow, that was good.
Well, that's certainly the goal. I mean, anytime you do anything, I mean, yeah, you definitely want to put your best foot forward. But building a good team around you of superb people in every corner is key to that. And, I mean, also, I'd like to mention the great Herschel Zahn. He's awesome, and I know he's in the mix with you all on that series, and I guess David Waite is as well. I mean, you got some amazing folks. Yeah, just up and down the line, production and cast wise. So I think you're heading into some good waters.
I'm going to love to say about Herschel, when I had my scenes that weekend. Herschel, being typical Herschel, is, Rocco, here's what I want to see. Here's what I know you can do. Run with this.
Mm-hmm.
Put your passion into this. And that's exactly what I did. And he turned right around. All my script, I was on my script, but I wasn't 100% on the script. But he turned around and went, that's the passion I want to see. Do it again. Run with this. This is yours. Wow. I love Herschel for that.
Well,
wait,
RG, what do you think?
Wait.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'm
what was that, Rocco?
Wait till you see that scene of me doing scenes with Vernon Wells during the firefight. Mm. You'll understand where Herschel came from. His passion for what he saw and him let me do what I knew I need to see what Herschel's passion was, and I did it. It was, for me, it was dead on, and everybody loved the hell out of it.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, RG, I was looking to see if you had some comments on the importance of, yeah, definitely having that kind of resonance with a director on, you know, in terms of getting a scene. And when it's out of sync,
yeah.
It doesn't work. But when it's in sync, like
yeah.
he's talking about,
yeah.
that's when you get indie film magic.
Absolutely.
And
I know,
oh, my God,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just as much talent and passion that goes into locally made movies, if not more so, you know. So I'm excited to see the project.
And for me, Herschel knows my background military-wise. He wanted to see a certain passion during the response, and I gave it to him in my way of doing it, not just by the script. The script is great. But it did, I don't want to say it didn't have the passion of the moment, but Herschel allowed me to put my passion of what I've been through in the military and bring it to live for what they wanted. And him and Sean were both ecstatic with my response to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's the thing. It's like we talk about that on the show a lot. Difference between a screenplay and a book, where a book is the final product. It's the final thing for the reader, for the audience. A screenplay is sort of a blueprint. And it's sort of the start of the production road. And so as you go on and move down the process, you have people bringing more things to the table, whether it's from production side or cast side. And you've just described that perfectly. You know, you have your blueprint, and then you brought your own experience to the table to infuse that into what was there on the page and then take it to another level. And I think that's a prime example in kind of explaining the, you know, like where what a screenplay is versus, you know, something like a book project. And yeah, it's a collaborative medium is what I'm getting at, and everybody brings something to the table and builds on, you know, the starting point, which is the screenplay.
And yeah, that was the thing that Herschel pointed out during that scene was, Rocco, you've done this. Put your passion into what you know. Here's what we want. And you go ahead and give me what we need. Did that.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered me a little bit because I actually lived that scene in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying not to put a lot of emotion from what I experienced, but at the same time, I knew what I needed to do to remain calm and provide what I needed for that specific scene. And Herschel just ate at that up.
And I think it also shows it's a good example of giving your actor leeway to, you know, not micromanage them. Give your actor leeway to do what they do and not try to, you know, just
trust,
work them like a puppet. Yeah.
Trust the actors, yeah, definitely.
And that was actually what Herschel said. Rocco, you've done this.
Mm-hmm.
I know you remain calm probably while you were doing this, real world, but I want a little bit of urgency in your voice. Okay, and that's exactly what I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I remember doing specific scenes like this during the war.
Mm-hmm.
Giving great coordinates, talking in a bird, talking in them doing either to dust off or to provide security for our guys. And then Herschel said, I know you've done this. I just need to see a little bit of urgency. Okay. And it wasn't hard for me to do that because I've had situations to where I had to call in shit. Excuse my language. I had to call in stuff to protect my boys in the, outside the wire and provide them air cover and provide people to get in there, protect them, and pull them out. And that's what Exville, Third for Tribe, Exville is about.
That's awesome. That's going to be fantastic.
Us getting our QRF, our quick reaction force, in there to protect everybody and get them out the quickest we can. I'm not going to give away anything else involved with this, but it does involve getting my boys out of there and getting them to a security area with a dust off and get anybody who's medically hurt out of there. Is that a first for me? No, I've done it real world.
Wow.
It just brought back memories as we were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be too easy to go through, to say the least. I mean, I can't imagine, that side of it, having to, you know, deal with your own experience versus trying to pull through in the project of the moment. Yeah, that's got to be I have a layer of difficulty that not everybody can relate to.
Yeah.
Oh, I reacted. I don't want to say I reacted properly, but as an actor, to give the audience exactly what they need to see how difficult this really is,
mm-hmm.
and to respond back between cuts, taking a breath, stepping back, going, I remember, my God, it was there. Yes, I do have PTSD. I do have TBI. But you know what? I look at it this way. For what we filmed and for what I went through in my life, I protected my brethren. I protected my sisters. And when I needed to get them out of the area, I was there to take care of that mission. And that, to me, that is the most important thing, is to bring home my brothers and sisters that I went over there with and bringing them back alive. We don't have to be hurt. We can be hurt. We are hurt. That's very important to me.
But in doing it on the screen like you did, though, it does a service in that it helps people who don't have that experience maybe gain a little more understanding or insight into what you go through, and in a way that connects and that has authenticity. And I think that's important. And so, yeah, you're doing something that really matters and it's important,
yeah.
Because that gives people a perspective. And definitely kudos for being willing to take a role like that does come with those kind of memories for you personally, in the fact that, you know, you're helping other people that don't have that kind of background to gain some insight, and maybe, you know, that helps them to, you know, be a little bit more understanding of what our soldiers go through.
And the thing is, how many of our troops can see this and relate of what happened,
mm-hmm.
and how can we as military guys help them to understand there's more to life than what we had to learn during a conflict?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the.
I'm hoping that our veterans can see for what I portray and show them. Yes, we still look out for our brothers. We still look out for our sisters. And we
mm-hmm.
will take care of one another no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. That's one of the great things about, making use of art. You know, I mean, it's definitely there to entertain, of course. It's definitely there to provide escape, you know. But it also gives you the windows to probe, you know, other depths of, you know, and help you, you know, gain different perspectives and help, you know, and help people relate. And then, like you said, you know, to also, you know, help others know that they are alone, that, you know, when they see something like that. And so, I mean, yes, I mean, it definitely shows the underlying value, you know, that's present beyond, you know, entertainment and things like that. Yeah, but there is something to, yeah, all the mediums of art that have that kind of capability. And that's awesome. I mean, it's a perfect example, what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, when you see that scene,
one thing I've got
you'll
question
understand
for.
Where I come from as a frontline operator, looking out for my friends, understanding my emotions because I'm not there. And then seeing a character like Vernon Wells, who's the owner of this specific company that is looking to protect our people when they come home. Let's get them out of
mm-hmm.
this shit to begin with. Let's take care of them, which we do. And then when they come home, show the camaraderie and the essence of, all right, you just went through shit. Let me give you a hug. We're here for you. Let's do whatever we can to help. And that's what one of the things our veterans need to see today. And
mm-hmm.
the VA, I hate to say this, the VA does not embrace the combat veterans the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
We have guys that come home every day. When I first went over, for Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was there as part of Operation Southern Freedom. And the kids inside the border of the air base, to me, that was a prison. The only thing they saw was the fence line. What I got to see was outside the fence line because of my job. My job was a anti-terrorism cop looking for people trying to harm us. And all the kids inside the wire, they were more a prisoner protecting. Sorry, Steve. My friend Rachel was just pulling up her pants.
Oh, no.
She's very busty. So
oh,
I got
dear.
The kiddos shake.
You got distracted.
Good thing
I got
an
distracted.
Show.
Be glad this is not a web-based type thing.
Yeah.
I would have showed the whole damn thing.
Oh,
love
boy.
You,
oh, dear.
This is why I had to come and hang out at my karaoke bar.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny.
Hey, Steve,
well, I believe Daniel Daniel
I
had a question for you.
From Garcia is buying me a shot.
Hey, that's
and
never can say no to that. That's awesome. But Daniel had a question for you. He started to get one in. It's a little hard to hear, but Daniel, go ahead, man.
One of the things that I had a question about, when all the different scenes that you've done, the movies that you've done, what has been the hardest emotionally for you to do?
Actually, what I just did with Don Fertrag, being the guy on the backside, knowing my boys were in a lot of shit downrange and trying to coordinate a close combat dialogue, it was very important to me to make sure I had that down pat. That has been the toughest for me because it brought back memories, PTSD-wise, of what I actually had to do during Operation Iraqi Freedom. I actually had a British troop fall out the backside of a vehicle. They did not have incoming. We knew incoming was in the area, but to put aircraft into the area to rescue this guy with his massive injuries, as far as I know, he survived with limited issues, but that was not the only issue I've ever had while I was in the service downrange.
Wow. Wow. Well, Rocco, we're coming up in about 2 minutes left to go in the show, and we always like to give our guests a chance to tell the audience where they can follow you on social media and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, folks that might want to find out about your projects or your upcoming projects, where would you tell them to go to find Rocco Pepe online?
For the most part, if you go on imdb.com and then go to the search engine, look me up as Rocco, R-O-C-C-O, Pepe, P-E-P-E, on IMDb.com. First name Rocco, two C's, no K, no relation to that fucking kangaroo and Nickelodeon. Last name Pepe, P-E-P-E, just like the skunkle, he's French, I'm Italian.
That's great. I didn't even think of that. Oh, my God, that's too funny. Well, that's awesome. Well, that's a good note to conclude on. But yeah, thank you for joining us tonight. Yeah, we wanted to have you aboard for a conversation because you've had quite a life and quite and you have much more ahead. And definitely one of the great characters of our creative community. So yeah, thanks a lot for joining us tonight, Rocco.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at the Imaginarium. Get me in there as a panelist. I promise to be entertaining.
We will do that. We will do that. And, yeah, definitely we'll be catching up with you very soon. But, yeah, I'll turn it over to Rebecca and Daniel to take us out. But thanks a lot for listening, everyone. This is Stephen, and catch us next week at 9 p.m. Eastern for another Star Chamber show, live podcast. So take us out, Rebecca and Daniel.
It has been an absolute blast hanging out with you guys tonight. Looking forward to shaking people's hands and giving hugs at Imaginarium, and we'll see you next time.
And as always, we try and endeavor to bring you the best that we can find in their field to entertain and educate us. Hopefully we did that tonight for you. Until next week, we'll talk to you again. Yeah, I'm saying about signing up.